For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in every week. I get tons of great feedback from people who listen to the show. Let us know they're thankful that we're here as a resource, and I really certainly do appreciate that feedback. So thank you again for tuning in. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. trying to bring you the latest and greatest related to health and wellness to help you live healthier, happier lives, sharing with you great information and great research in the world of medicine, specifically as it relates to more integrative, holistic therapies, which I believe are truly the future of medicine, or a huge part of the future of medicine. Today, we're going to be talking about an incredibly important and popular topic. I'm inundated with these questions every single day in my office, and this is the issue related to bone density and bone health. We're going to be talking about some specific nutrients later in the show, as we always try and highlight about helping to support bone health, and we're going to be talking in general about what does bone health mean. When we discuss the idea of bone health, of course, our concern, at least the majority of concern when it comes to bone health, has to do with bone fracture risk. And this is mainly in the population of older people. We're talking about postmenopausal women is the biggest category of people that are at risk for bone fractures. And we know this is a serious issue. It's not just about the discomfort or pain of a bone fracture, but these bone fractures can be very, very significant, specifically the ones related to hip fractures. Hip fractures, the statistics amongst hip fractures are quite scary. Elderly people who have a hip fracture, there's a high percentage of death rate within 5 years after a hip fracture. It's a very difficult process to recover from. It leads to a sedentary lifestyle. It leads to other medical interventions, surgeries, and it actually significantly decreases some aspects of life expectancy after a hip fracture. So we really want to try and keep people's bones healthy. We have vertebral fractures, which are a big problem. The vertebrae and the spine start to lose their strength, and as they deteriorate, they fracture. It causes a shrinking of stature, but it also oftentimes is a very painful manifestation of bone fractures that leads to a lot of chronic pain. And women aren't the only ones that are subject to bone mineral density and fracture risk. Men are as well. We can see this in men who have very low levels of testosterone or who are on certain therapies that require steroid therapy that oftentimes have a negative impact on bone. So the issue really spans gender. From an age standpoint, it's really more as we get into our older years. Usually the sixth decade is when we start to see bone density issues start to come up. Now, of course, we're going to talk about nutrient and dietary considerations and how we can support bone, but I want to lead off the conversation discussing some of the aspects of what does bone health really mean, because we only have a few ways of assessing bone health. There's really only one that we look at, and it is the DEXA scan, or the bone density scan. And I want to spend some time discussing this test, the validity of the test, and what it actually does predict, because this is often the test that pushes people into a category that would require either a medication intervention or into a category that would start to bring up fears about, am I at risk for a bone fracture? So, of course, to engage in this exciting conversation with us today, we have a guest on the line. He's been a guest on the show numerous times before. He's always one of my favorite. He's Dallas Kulwatra. He's a PhD. He earned his AB, his undergrad degree, from Stanford, and his PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. He's a fellow of the American College of Nutrition. He's a prominent industry consultant and a published author, as well as a principal in Glycon Technologies Group, an intellectual property holding company. He is an associate editor of Total Health Magazine and a member of the editorial advisory board of Nutritional Outlook Magazine, and has recent patents on cardiovascular drug discovery. He is the author of numerous books. Recent publications include Grapeseed Extracts, Tocotrienol, vitamin E, Hyperscience, vitamin E, natural or synthetic, in tocotrienols, vitamin E beyond tosafrol. So a lot of vitamin E research. He's done books on kava-kava, examining new reports of toxicity and the toxicology letters, and anti-fat nutrients. Dr. Kulatra's primary research interests are the components of metabolic syndrome and syndrome X. But Dallas, today you're here to talk to us about bone density, or bone health, I should say.
That's right. We're talking about bone health.
So let's talk about this kind of issue I've been alluding to, where we have this idea that our bone health is 100% reflected by our bone density, which is measured in these DEXA scans, these sort of low radiation kind of X-ray studies that look at the density of our bone. And for, you know, forever, it's been considered that density measurements of bone are related to fracture risk of that bone. So can you help us understand, and I know that some of this is not 100% true, but I would love for you to help us understand a little bit more about the nuances or discrepancies relating to density versus fracture risk, because it helps frame this conversation overall about bone health.
Yes. Well, it's like a lot of things where you want to have a black and white answer. You want a yes or no, a crystal clear answer. And of course, nature tends to be a little bit fuzzy around the edges. And the whole issue of bone mineral density raises what's a distinction between what's sometimes referred to as bone quantity, i.e. bone mineral density, versus bone quality. And the reason for drawing this distinction, let's keep in mind what bone mineral density is actually telling you. It's telling you how much calcium you have in the bone, how much mineral you have in the bone. And that tells you, in essence, how much pressure the bone can take. Think of your dining room table. How much weight can you put directly on top of that table before it starts to crumble under the weight? Well, that's what bone mineral density is primarily telling you. How much pressure can the bone absorb directly in this type of fashion before it starts crumbling, because you have a structure there based upon that mineral. The weakness of this is that most fractures actually are not related to how much pressure you're going to have from the top down, gravity feed type issue. Most fractures are actually related to, say, falls. The fractures that are most meaningful for us are typically related to falls. And those are more strongly correlated, your risk, with what's sometimes referred to as bone quality. Because your bone is not all mineral. Your bone is on the order of 28% collagen and protein and other components of this nature. And so those are, think of the of your freeway and the columns that hold the freeways. We put steel girders inside those cement columns. Why? In order to prevent cross stress from cracking the columns. Okay, cross stress is what you get if you were to fall. You get this stress across the bone. And as we get older, we have less muscle in the thighs, for example. You have less protection for the bone to this type of stress. It becomes very important. Well, what is the degree of quality of the bone? There's how much collagen and active bone remineralization. And it's this active development of the of what's called the bone matrix that is actually very important here, because it tells you the nature, more than just straight bone mineral density, it tells you the nature of the health of the bone. And this came up a little bit more than a decade ago in a very major way with what the Women's Health Initiative, huge study. You probably talked about this in the past.
Sure.
Enormous study, multiple centers and so forth. And one of the very big surprises that came out of the Women's Health Initiative, this is one of the studies that cast doubt on hormone replacement for bone health, is that hormone replacement for women did a great job of preventing bone mineral loss. It did a great job of preventing demineralization, of preventing the bone mineral density from decreasing. the great surprise to the researchers was that the hormone replacement wasn't doing very much for fractures. Okay, you're scratching your head. Well, if it did all this, it actually not only maintained bone mineral density, but actually increased it over a period of time, 1 or 2%. Why wasn't it improving fractures? But it wasn't. Okay, and so for a decade or more, we've been aware, that the field has been aware, that bone quantity, this bone mineral density, is not the total answer on this, because we have these issues where you can see that we can keep the bone mineral density, but we haven't protected against fractures. And so that's a big issue. Now, I'm not saying that bone mineral density is a non-issue, so that's not true. If DEXA, if one of these types of studies shows that you are rapidly demineralizing, that is an issue. You've got to stop that. Okay, but keep in mind where the risk, the fracture risk, starts really appearing is when you get down close to what's being defined as osteopenia, where your bone is starting to soften. It's only when you get down to approaching sort of frank osteoporosis that you start seeing an increase in the fracture rate. So you've got to do more than simply defend against demineralization.
Right. So we're maybe looking at the data as finding that the categorizations of osteopenia, which is the level of demineralization on a DEXA scan before osteoporosis, is not necessarily correlated with a significantly increased fracture risk. It's more when you get farther down the road into a DEXA or bone mineral density scan that shows frank osteoporosis where fracture risks actually start to go up.
That's right. And those are going to go up because you're simply losing so much structural support in the bone that it can't deal with weight bearing. And we see, for example, someone with the Dowager's hump.
Mm-hmm.
Famous in any movie ever filmed in Hong Kong. You only see a picture of someone with a Dowager's hump.
Is sort of the bulge in the upper back, the slumped over look. Is that what you're referring to?
That's right. And you're seeing there a couple of things. One, of course, is loss of the musculature that keep your spine erect. But the other, there you're starting to look at real demineralization, typically, in the spine. Okay, I'm not saying that that bone mineral density is trivial, because that's not true. But keep in mind, it is not everything.
Mm-hmm.
The important point here is that there's a lot that can be done about the fracture risk that is not reflected in big changes in bone mineral density.
Yeah, and we do see examples of that in other places. For example, it's very common that when people are given a diagnosis of osteopenia, certainly osteoporosis, it is recommended that they start on pharmaceutical intervention to try and increase bone mineral density. And usually we're going to be using the class of drugs called the bisphosphonates, which do a job of basically inhibiting osteoclast activity, which are the bone cells that break down bone, so that your body can't break down bone as readily, and it allows it to build it. You've got two types of bone cells, right, Dallas? You've got the osteoblasts, which build bone, and the osteoclasts, which break it down. Now, what can happen in some people is you can get a massive mineralization of the bone because the bone is not being broken down because the drug inhibits the osteoclast, and you can see these incredibly dense bones. And there's a primary example, a small subset of people who take these drugs end up with a higher degree of a femoral fracture. And the femur is the long bone in your thigh. It's the longest bone in your body. And the fractures that are occurring are from virtually no trauma, meaning somebody is standing, they turn to pivot, just to turn directions, and their femur just basically completely, splinters and shatters. So there's no real stress. It's not a fall. It's not even really much gravity stress. It's a simple torsion stress of a normal activity, and the femur breaks. And what's so shocking about it is that the bone density of that femur, if you were to measure on a DEXA scan, the bone density is like off the charts high. It's the density of a very, very young bone, almost an over-mineralized bone. And the issue that's coming up is that just because there's density there doesn't mean that there's strength. It's like a bone that is, imagine a plate of glass. a plate of glass may have a lot of density, right? It's heavy, it's thick, it's not bendable. But if you drop a plate of glass, it shatters. Versus something like plexiglass, which is not nearly as dense as glass. It flexes, it you know, you can bend it, you can contort it in all sorts of directions. You drop it on the ground and it just bounces right back up without any shattering. And that's sort of the example of a healthy bone. Not only is there some degree of density, but as you mentioned, there's a large degree of collagen, which is connective tissue, which allows for that flex and that bend. And there's protein structures and other things in it besides just the mineralization of calcium, which is all that really the DEXA scans are measuring. So we need to take a break, but Dallas, thank you for bringing up that topic and pointing it out, because it's very important for people to understand that just because they have some problems with their bone density does not mean that they're doomed to high fracture risk. And there are things that we can do to support bone health besides mineralization that can potentially reduce fracture risk by enhancing the overall health of the bone. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. What can we do to support other aspects of bone health? And of course, we're going to talk about some other strategies that can, in circumstances when the DEXA scan and the density is getting low or progressing too quickly or progressing to a place of, let's say, osteoporosis, where fracture risk actually does start to go up, what kind of therapies can we implement that can start to remineralize the bone in a very effective way without turning to the pharmaceutical options? Or these are many things that you can use in conjunction with pharmaceutical options to get a better outcome. So we've got a lot of really important issues related to bone density that we're going to be discussing coming up after this break. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be right back.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500
brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and it is always my pleasure to be here with you every Sunday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. You can always listen to any of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free by going to the Village Green website, which is www.myvillagegreen.com. And on the right-hand side of the homepage, you will see a microphone icon. If you click on that, it will take you to the archive show section and allow you to download and listen to any show for absolutely free. And it's a wonderful resource for people to learn about many different aspects of health and wellness. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, the Village Green is a health and wellness pharmacy located here in Bethesda, Maryland. They've been pioneering health and wellness therapies in the area for over 40 years. They've got a wonderful staff of very knowledgeable people who can help you with any of your health and wellness needs, as well as a full-service pharmacy, as well as a custom compounding pharmacy that can make specialty custom compounds, nutritional or prescription, for any of your needs. It's a wonderful resource, so make sure to check it out. Today, in the last segment, we were talking about bone health, and I have on the phone with me Dr. Dallas Kluwatra, who is a very well-respected researcher in the field of natural products, natural health, and he's sharing with us some information and research around bone health. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about and introducing some of the nutrients that are key for supporting bone health. And we're going to be talking about in the rest of the show, as we alluded to in the last segment, not just nutrients to support bone density, which will show up as improvements on the DEXA scan, but also nutrients to support bone health. So, Dr. Kluwatra, I would love for you to discuss with us sort of, you know, what makes bone strong and healthy. We've talked about the issue of density, but there's this very elaborate process in bone of new bone creation and old bone breakdown. And I would love for you to talk to us about it and put in perspective how this equals bone strength versus bone weakness.
Okay, this is, you mentioned the bisphosphonate and the fact that you can have really quite remarkable bone density in some cases but the bones aren't strong. And since they're not, they can't deal with torsion. You twist. Okay, what's going on here is that you have a normal process in the body. Every tissue in the body is replaced, including the bone. It's just a matter of how quickly. Everything in the body is replaced. And so what you find is that you have a couple different paths. One path, which is what's primarily practiced with the bisphosphonates, is that you are preventing the osteoclast from tearing down bone. You're preventing the remodeling. And therefore, you keep the calcium, and you put more and more calcium into storage. You have more mineral in the storage. The problem with this, let me find an example here that you can visualize. Think of a freshly poured driveway. Okay, you need something you can actually see what takes place over time. Okay, when a freshly poured driveway is, that concrete is all smooth. You don't have any cracks and so forth. But after, say, 10 years of a lot of heavy equipment rolling across it, you see all these hairline fractures all across that concrete. Well, that's like the bone. If you don't rebuild, you have to be rebuilding this all the time. Otherwise, what you do is you start seeing, yes, you have all that mineral there, but there are hairline fractures separating all these, the various segments of the mineral. Okay, and that's why you can have this strange phenomenon that after 4 or 5 years. The use of one of a bisphosphonate, that even though you have great bone mineral density, the bone is not nearly as strong as people had expected. Why? Because you have all these hairline fractures, because the approach that's been taken is to prevent the osteoclast from remodeling or rebuilding, and then the osteoblast from rebuilding the bone. What you want is a normal process of taking out old bone, which will have these hairline fractures, and renewing the bone. This is done with the bone matrix. Bone matrix creates a scaffold, and then you fill in that scaffold with the osteoblasts, which then collect the calcium, and you rebuild the bone. You have a certain amount of collagen in there, and this is newly laid down bone. You have a process in the body where you have to control how much bone is being taken out, destroyed, and remodeled, and how much is being laid down. And what you want to do is you want to emphasize that there's always a slight plus towards laying down more than you're destroying. You want to try to get there. because otherwise you're all going to constantly lose bone. As you get older, all these processes slow down. And you get the strong bone is this new bone. The strong bone is this bone that's being laid down, refreshed, rather than simply preventing it from being remodeled. You need to actually increase the rate at which it's being rebuilt. I don't want to say remodel because people always will associate that with tearing it down, but keep in mind this is a process. You need to have both sides of the process in order to renew the bone. You actually have to tear down some of that old bone, which will have these fractures built into it after a while, and replace it with new bone. And so there's where you want the emphasis, and there's where you want more than simply calcium. And even with calcium, it's a curious thing that you discover when you do all these large tests, and of course over the last two or three decades, there have been lots and lots of tests, you find that calcium is better laid down in the bone if it is brought in with associated nutrients. What does that mean? Vitamin D, magnesium, zinc, these sorts of things, because the bone, again, is 28% or so, depending on where the bone is, of course, 28% or so collagen and other factors. It is minerals other than calcium, and sometimes these minerals other than calcium determine where the calcium itself goes in the body. So just people have to be aware that you need to feed the bone in its entirety. Calcium alone isn't really enough here. You really need to match what the bone needs for its rebuilding.
So let's talk about the calcium issue in and of itself, because there's some debate that goes on between just picking a calcium. We know that, yes, if you administer the calcium with some of the other very specific bone-associated nutrients, like you discussed, zinc and magnesium, and vitamin D, you're going to get better integration of that calcium into the bone. But let's just start with the calcium topic in general. There's many different forms of calcium. There's calcium carbonate, there's calcium citrate, calcium hydroxyapatite, eggshell calcium, coral calcium, vegan calcium, calcium from, you name it. And every single person or company, I would say, that produces a specific type of calcium supplement basically loves to state that their calcium is the best. The regular medical community will say, oh, calcium carbonate, we've been using it forever. It works. The studies show it works. Just use it. The other people will say, well, calcium carbonate, it inhibits stomach acid production. It's basically what's in a Tums. If you don't have stomach acid production, you can't ionize the calcium. And if you can't ionize it, you can't absorb it. So calcium carbonate isn't good. Use calcium citrate. Somebody else will say, oh, well, calcium citrate, that's, the calcium science of 20 years ago. Now we use this bone-derived calcium, calcium hydroxyapatite, and that's the best because it comes from bone, so it has factors. And somebody else will say, well, no, that comes from animals. That's you don't want an animal product. That's no good. It could have toxins in it, and so use coral calcium. And then some people say, well, coral calcium has all sorts of toxins from I have heard, hopefully you're getting the point, but I think it's confusing because I'm not the only one that's heard these conversations. People are out there, and especially people educated about choosing their supplements, are constantly trying to figure out, which one do I go with? Which one is the best? So help us understand, Dallas, some of the science behind these different calciums, and does it really matter when it comes down to it?
Okay, well, yeah, so you've been through the calcium wars. Keep in mind that the body can regulate how much calcium comes in. In fact, calcium is one of the most highly regulated of all minerals. You look at the system, the more calcium you consume, the lower the percentage of calcium that's being taken up into the blood. In other words, the body knows how much it is regulating how much calcium it wants, and it's trying to match this to its needs. And it's doing this because you want calcium to go to certain places, and you don't want calcium to go to certain other places. And the body is controlling this for you, and you use certain other nutrients to help regulate where the calcium goes. Okay, and so there's been a big sort of debate about calcium in cardiovascular disease, and whether calcium supplements play a role here. And this is rather contentious, as you've alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is that you see a buildup of calcium when people start developing cardiovascular disease. sometimes referred to as calcification of the arteries. Now, whether this is primary or whether it's adventitious, there are lots of debates here. But what we know is that the body controls where calcium goes, use calcium. Vitamin D helps regulate how much calcium is taken up from your gut, and then placing it in the bone, which is where you want it. You don't want this calcium sitting in your artery wall. You want it going into the bone. Okay? And so that what you find is that if you have let's stress calcium uptake. What you find is that, first of all, if you take calcium with a meal, which is what I think is the preferred practice, then in terms of total calcium uptake, there is not much difference amongst any of sources of calcium. Frankly, if you actually go and look at the studies, you'll find that there just isn't very much difference in uptake if you take all of these calcium with a meal, which is where you have a little bit of protein, which gives you acid in the stomach, which ionizes the calcium, which allows you to digest it, and then makes it bioavailable. Okay, so under those circumstances, as opposed to taking it on an empty stomach, say, before bedtime, if you take calcium with a meal, then the calcium uptake doesn't matter what source you're using. What's important, and this shows up in the studies over and over again, because if you look at, say, the studies on what's called ulcine hydroxyapatite complex, which is what you have in certain of these bone formulas based upon bone meal, such as the Jarl Formulas product, you had test after test after test. What these tests have shown is that compared to calcium carbonate, for example, the ulcine hydroxyapatite, we'll just call it hydroxyapatite complex here, even though it's the ulcine side of this that in some ways is the most important, which refers to the collagen, the protein complexes, and so forth. But if you look at these tests, in fact, the calcium carbonate comes up wanting over and over and over again. It is the hydroxyapatite that reduces fracture rate in these tests. Okay, and actually slows the bone demineralization significantly in these tests. So it's not as if you don't have tests showing that this hydroxyapatite, in fact, does support bone health. There are plenty of tests, 17, 18 studies that I know of, and that shows that these are superior to a simple calcium, such as calcium carbonate. When you get to these fancy calciums that are super bioavailable on an empty stomach, one problem with these is that they are actually bypassing some of the body's regulatory system. Yes, you can really super increase the amount of calcium in the bloodstream. The question is whether you really want to do this, because keep in mind, this is not calcium in your bloodstream. It's highly regulated because you want that calcium. You want calcium to enter the bloodstream at the rate at which you can put it into the bone. You don't want calcium entering the bloodstream so rapidly that you start depositing it in soft tissues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where these other nutrients come in, okay, because this big set to regarding calcium and cardiovascular health, no one is seeing any problem with calcium from food sources. So you're not seeing a problem there. And as far as the trials go, you don't seem to have a problem with calcium that's associated with vitamin D intake, or especially calcium that's taken with vitamin D and minerals like magnesium and zinc. So clearly it's not calcium alone that's involved here. You have other nutrients, and this should not be a big surprise.
Right.
You have other nutrients that are very important to make sure that calcium does what it's supposed to do, which helps you, for example, something like silicon, for example, that is actually used to build the scaffolding, the bone matrix that you then deposit calcium in. Okay, it's very important because, after all, if you don't have a healthy bone matrix, you can't deposit calcium in a proper fashion. So, yes, simple calcium and calcium carbonate is very inexpensive, but it has these drawbacks. For example, anyone who approaches, say, 60 or older, you don't have much stomach gas to begin with, why would you take an acid blocker, calcium carbonate, as a calcium source? The answer is you wouldn't.
Are there any concerns? I mean, we talked about calcium hydroxyapatite, which is this form of calcium that I'm sort of advocate as well in my practice, just because of the data around fracture risk and bone health. Is there any concerns about the fact that it does come from an animal source and any aspects of contamination or, you know, issues that are inherently are involved with deriving something from an animal source?
Well, of course, there's, I mean, it's not a complete non-issue. I'm not going to say that. On the other hand, how do you control this? You control your source of the hydroxyapatite. The jar formulas, I know they use New Zealand, young New Zealand cattle on this. Okay, so your source is a, young, a relatively young animal, and you're getting this from a pasture-raised range. New Zealand is, you know, a large island, set of islands with lots of green grass, lots of pasturage. And so it's just like the issue with, say, raw milk and tuberculosis. But what you find is that if you don't crowd the animals, raise the your milk cows properly, you have lots of space, lots of room in the pasturage and so forth, this becomes a total non-issue. And so if you use, again, with the source for the hydroxyapatite, you use animals that are have lots of space to roam, are not crowded, are not in feedlots, that you know are healthy, and you can check routinely for their health, and you check the component, the body components after you take the animals. You again check for health, check for contamination and so forth. If you do that, there's no more issue here than any other consumption of a properly raised and processed foodstuff.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking here is essentially a specialized foodstuff.
Yes.
Okay? And so these turn out to be non-issues, and no one can show. There has been no evidence of any sort of health concerns under these circumstances.
Right. Yep, I would agree. But it is important to make sure, like in the Jarro product, and I'm a big fan of Jarro products, you know, their Bone Up is one of their most popular or, you know, most widely used products that I've seen because of its advanced formulation. And it is nice that they can guarantee that the calcium hydroxyapatite that makes up the primary source of calcium in that product comes from a source of animal that is considered to be the cleanest and potential for lowest toxicity on the planet, which is the free-range New Zealand calves. And it's a byproduct, basically, of, you know, other reasons why they're using these calves for the food industry, and we're basically taking advantage of using all of what the animal has sacrificed its life for, not just the meat or the organs for food source, but it actually allows us to use the rest of the animal to derive this very, very special form of calcium, which seems to be incredibly effective for human bones. If you, you know, want more information, you can go to the Jarro website, and that is www.jarrow.com. And if you just look up the Bone Up product, B-O-N-U-P, Bone Up, you can look at some of the clinical trials that were done on this product, specifically related to the calcium hydroxyapatite, and look at some of the other research and data around it. Now, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, Dallas, I want to pick up the conversation and get into a little bit more detail regarding some of these other important bone nutrients that we've discussed but have not delved into. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care, to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of FitFood, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of FitFood contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. FitFood provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. My wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning next week. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so don't forget to set your dials. We've been talking about bone health in this last segment. In the last segment, Dr. Kulatra explained to us very nicely some of the intricacies and ins and outs of using calcium and some of the advantages and disadvantages of different forms of calcium. And, he works very closely with Gero Formulas and, you know, has worked in researching this issue. And as many people on the cutting edge of nutritional science feel, the microcrystalline hydroxyapatite form of calcium, which is the kind that's actually derived from a bone meal, seems to be the most effective in some of the studies showing its ability to reduce fracture risk, support bone health, and reduce the spiking of calcium levels in the blood after consumption, which does help to make sure that the calcium doesn't overwhelm the system and gives our body the chance to incorporate it into bone at the rate in which the body is ready, and not just flooding the bloodstream full of extremely bioavailable calciums, in which case there is the potential for the body to not keep up with the deposition in the bone, and these calcium levels in the blood can potentially end up in the soft tissue, which sort of does create some concern, particularly around cardiovascular and arterial health. So, Dr. Kulatra, in this segment, I'd love to just get into the topic a little bit more relating to some of the cofactors or other bone nutrients, that are very important to consider in addition to just calcium.
Okay, well, keep in mind that in your formulas, you have a couple of different formulas. There's Bone Up and then there's Ultra Bone Up, and we'll get into this. The Bone Up is your basic formula, and it contains those supporting nutrients that are recognized in their own right to be useful towards bone health. Vitamin D3, for example. This is the best absorbed type of vitamin D. Which is included, well, because it helps you absorb calcium and it helps put calcium in the bone. In the same vein, Gero Formulas uses the vitamin K2. Now, this is called miniquinone. Okay. Now, you have various these phyllo and miniquinones available in the world, mostly in green vegetables, which we Americans are not terribly fond of, unfortunately. Okay. Vitamin K, especially in its various forms, K2 through K7. This is vitamin K2 as miniquinone 7. Which has a better uptake. Vitamin K2 has better uptake than the normal vitamin K. Again, helps direct calcium into the bone. Big issue because Bone Up actually has a claim supports cardiovascular health. Okay, why can they make this claim? Because they contain the vitamin D, they contain the K2, they contain magnesium, which is a mineral that I would say the vast majority of Americans are short on magnesium. okay? Because, again, this is magnesium is typically found in plants. We don't eat a whole lot of green vegetables in the United States in comparison to what we should be eating. That five a day that we're told we should aim at, I don't think very many of us make that, five a day fruits and vegetables. Okay, these are this supporting gas, things like potassium, potassium citrate, because you have to maintain a proper acid base. How acid is your blood? Again, certain things like potassium are useful for maintaining the proper balance in the body. So that's, so with bone up, what you're looking at is trying to maintain the proper balance and including those nutrients that we know are supportive to bone health. Bone contains, after all, most of the magnesium in the body is also in the bones. Okay, so clearly the bones are not just repository calcium. You can't build bone by only having one of multiple components that are in bone. It's not adequate. Okay, interesting thing, you can add some components. For example, silicon. In this case, if you think of Ultrabone, it contains Jarosil silicon. Why is the silicon important? You get a silicon for your diet. There are certain vegetables that are very high in silicon, like green beans, high in silicon. It's because the silicon, which you never have very much in the body, it's a pass-through nutrient, but very important for bone because you use it to build the scaffolding of the bone matrix. And then that what happens is that it's just like putting up a house. You put up the scaffold first. You put up the framework first. Mm-hmm. And then you fill it in. That's what you're doing with the boron, the silicon, these other nutrients. You help encourage the scaffolding be put up first, and then you fill it in. Then you build the bone around this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly enough, there are some non-mineral components in the hydroxyapatite that play a huge role here. A lot of these are referred to as bone morphogenic proteins. And there, I say proteins with an S because there are a whole slew of these mm-hmm. that have been identified. But bone morphogenic protein 7, for example. And then you have other components which help build the bone. You have and in the case of Ultrabone Up, you have milk basic protein, which does something very similar to the bone morphogenic proteins, only this time derived from milk. Okay, what this means is that there are, when you think about it, the bone naturally contains those nutrients that are used in its own production. Okay, the bone morphogenic proteins are useful. Why? Because they encourage the construction of new bone. They can, most of them, not all of them, but most of them can encourage the construction of new bone and then the mineralization of that bone. So it's not just calcium. One of the reasons that you get these very nice data out of clinical trials with the olefin hydroxyapatite, which is what you have in the bone up and the ultra bone up, the reason you get these nice results, despite the fact that you only had the same amount of calcium that you had in the other competing items, such as calcium carbonate, the reason you get these nice results is these other factors, bone morphogenic proteins, for example, that are in the bone, which induce this type of development. Okay, and the you also have things called transforming growth factors. So there you have a series of these in bone.
Sure.
Okay?
So it's not just about the calcium and getting calcium levels in the blood up, as we discussed. It's about helping the body to utilize the calcium into the bone structure. And we've talked about the role of magnesium. We know that zinc helps. Vitamin K2, as you talked about, does an amazing job of this. It actually activates calcitonin, which helps to deposit the bone, deposit the calcium into the bone, and it also activates another enzyme in the arterial system that releases calcium out of the arteries. So it's incredibly important because that really does a great job of directing the calcium where to go. In addition, you talked about the bone-derived growth factors that come and are inherently in the calcium supplements that come from bone meal, like the calcium hydroxyapatite, which we've discussed. And then we've talked about the role of the milk basic protein, which is basically this type of protein derived from whey that really does help the body to support bone mineralization by basically being one of these factors to tell the calcium where to go and to tell the bones to build this structure. Now, Dallas, we're going to need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to touch on a few of these nutrients in a little bit more detail, specifically the milk basic protein, because it is a really interesting aspect of bone support, and there is some good research behind its ability to support bone density and bone health. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Want to digest your food more effectively and more comfortably? You need extraordinary enzymes from Life Extension, with 12 natural enzymes that work together to support a healthy digestive system. Extraordinary enzymes help your body convert protein, fiber, and fat to energy and better absorb nutrients from the foods you eat. It also helps break down vegetables that are hard to digest. And unlike commercial supplements, it doesn't contain the amylase enzyme, which can promote unhealthy after-meal glucose spikes. So stop by Village Apothecary in Bethesda and ask for Life Extension. Extraordinary enzymes.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is hot plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants, from the science of enzymatic therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new, targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you for tuning in. We've been talking about bone health and some of the nutrients involved with bone health and some of the myths involved in bone health and DEXA scans and bone density and how important it is to support all aspects of your bone health and not just the density, although density tests and DEXA scans are useful in helping us to evaluate bone health. It is the only cool tool that we currently have to really evaluate bone strength, and it's not always the most predictive, but it is important to take it into perspective when designing a bone health or bone support strategy for someone. Now, in the last segment, we talked about some of the adjunctive nutrients specifically for supporting bone health, the importance of the other minerals, and basically a synergistic formula, not just taking a bunch of calcium, but also making sure that you're taking calcium with magnesium. And we usually decide that the industry standard should be about a 2-to-1 ratio, meaning that if you're taking the average recommended high dose of calcium around 1,200 milligrams, or, you know, we're looking at around 500 or 600 milligrams of magnesium, that 2-to-1 ratio approximately seems to be the best way to ensure optimal calcium absorption and optimal calcium deposition. In addition, including a formula that contains the other important bone nutrients such as zinc, manganese in small amounts. These are other minerals. Vitamin D obviously really helps with calcium absorption. Vitamin K2, oftentimes given in the form of MK7, we can use low doses and still get very good effect from it. It's a wonderful, very important nutrient to be used with calcium supplementation. And then we've talked about some more of the cutting edge nutrients that are a little bit newer onto the scene that seem to be supporting this idea that we need additional tools to help that calcium not just get into the blood, but help that calcium find its way into the bone matrix. And one of the new exciting ones that we've been discussing has to do with milk basic protein, which we've talked about. Now, even for people that are milk sensitive, what the data shows, even though the FDA says that if you have a milk sensitivity, because it is milk derived, it's not cleared for people with milk sensitivities. Realistically, the idea that somebody with a milk or dairy sensitivity would react to a supplement with milk basic protein is extremely low. So I think it is worth trying unless your milk allergy is incredibly severe. But Dallas, talk to us a little bit about some of the clinical trials that have been done on milk basic protein and the impressive results that it's found.
Okay. Well, this is, it's nice that there have been a number of trials with both women and men, okay? And, for example, one trial that lasted for 6 months with women, a double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. And these trials, as you know, are expensive. Bone trials and typically are very expensive because they have to be, for a lot of purposes, have to continue for a long period of time. You have to have a fair number of individuals. So it means that the company has to invest a considerable amount to do these trials. And the particular trial that I'm thinking of here, the women were in the trial for 6 months, and what you found is that you improved the health of the what's called the radius is for example, at the end of the femur, that large bone you're talking about. Of course, yeah, the radius you have that the a lot of damage occurs where at the ball and socket at one end of the femur, for example.
Yes.
Okay. And what you found is that when they were looking at the improvements in the health and the bone mineral density in the distal end of the radius. Okay. They were looking at the final 1/6 or 1/10 of this to see bone turnover is going to be slow, always. Okay. But you could see the improvement here. At the portion of the bone that's being, in a sense, used all the time. That area at the end of the femur is constantly under stress because, you know, it's constantly turning in the socket.
Right.
And every time you move, you get a lot of stress there. There's a place that you can go to look. There are various parts of the body that react differently to various supplements. So one of the reasons they wanted to look here is that they're already shown that it worked in certain other types of bone. I believe they tried it in the spine as well, and of course you had a whole lot of animal trials originally, but they want to show that it worked in more than one spot. You got the milk-based protein actually was affecting bone metabolism, not just, for example, in the hip, it also would do it in the spine, something like this. So you know that you're going to get effects, you're going to get benefits in more than just one spot of the bone. Because you do tend to find that some items will improve bone in one spot.
But not in others. Right. So basically, the clinical trials have shown that it can help improve bone density at several different sites.
And then you have a much shorter test in men that show that even, I believe, it's only in six weeks, that you already, 16 days, excuse me, in 16 days, you were already altering the expression of one of these a collagen. Since your bone matrix, that's where the new bone is being created, you create a collagen type structure. That bone matrix, when it's renewing, you have a changeover in the collagen side there. That bone matrix. Okay, you could increase the amount of this collagen production within as little as 16 days.
Wow. So I appreciate all of your thoughts and insights. Again, there's a lot more to bone health than just calcium, and I hope we drove that home today. There are some exciting nutrients. There's great research on the milk basic protein. Looking for a product, either a standalone or a product like the Jarrow Bone Up Ultra, which incorporates the milk basic protein in addition to using the silica structure. This is a great way to not just look at enhancing bone density, but supporting bone strength by supporting the collagen and protein aspects of bone and ensuring that you have all the nutrients in place that allow the calcium to get where it should and give your body the tools it needs to build that bone. And although we don't have any tests to measure bone strength, we're still relying only on DEXA and bone density. Know that if you're using some of these other nutrients to support bone health, it's very likely that you may be reducing your fracture risk by supporting bone overall. So it's important to have a good resource to talk to somebody about bone health if you have questions, if you have a DEXA scan, and doctors have concerns. There are many great strategies out there on the market. Again, Dallas, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and I'll see you all in a couple weeks. Take care.